America Tonight. We zig and zag all over the place. If you've listened to the show, you know all about that. Best water cooler buzz on the overnight highway. We're going to take you to Dallas-Fort Worth, the site of the upcoming Super Bowl. Do you believe it's here on Sunday? And crazy weather ushering in a wild week where so many people descend upon an area that has the Super Bowl, and ultimately they go do that partying thing, and the parties have certainly begun. So I don't know, has the weather subdued some of the partying, or has some of it just not kicked off yet? Usually people really start to come into a city on Wednesday and Thursday, but especially Thursday. Some cheeseheads are here, some Steeler fans are here. I can only imagine that the place will be sold out. The tickets, I was talking about the prices the other day, the average ticket price, $3,000, some of the highest tickets that have ever been sold to a Super Bowl. Let's hope it's worth it. We're going to dive into that in a second. But truly what so many people want to know is what's happening in Egypt? What's going on? Finally, more people are catching on that, you know what, this is really a big deal. It's a big deal whether Mubarak stays as the president or he moves on. And if he moves on, reluctantly, because he does not want to do that. He says he wants to transition to something peaceful in September. So, in other words, not run again in September. But that's not happening. The people in the streets are not giving up. This really is a revolt. And it might have taken some people by surprise, but it's here and it's been around now for 7-8 days. So it's not going to break up anytime soon. The crush is certainly on in the direction of, okay, give the people what they want, but let's just hope that we have a government, at least in the United States, let's hope that we have a government that promotes peace like we've been working with for the last 3 decades. So at this point, in a poll that I just saw earlier in the day, they were talking about the nightmares, having nightmares of anti-American government sentiment turning Egypt into the next Iran, right? But what happens if the recent polling of how Egyptians feel about the United States is true, then there's nothing to worry about. I happen to catch this in the New York Times, and what they found is the Egyptian opinion toward the U.S. has improved over the last 2 to 3 years. Will it improve to the point that a new leader wouldn't gain any points with the citizens in Cairo and elsewhere by having an anti-American sentiment spread? So the answer to that question is the key question. If you go back a couple of years ago, the BBC World Service did a survey in I want to say 07 or 08, where they said just 11% of Egyptians polled view the United States as having a mostly positive influence in the world. Wow. But then Barack Obama got elected, and we know about the speech in Cairo in 2009. So has there been some improvements in the national mood toward America? Last year's survey found that 45% of Egyptians view the U.S. positively. If there's going to be a relationship that is a relationship that's peace-based, then you can bet the renegotiating, perhaps even of the peace agreement, I don't know, or maybe that stands. It depends on who steps in. It depends on who steps into that role is what I would say. World leaders like, or ex-world leaders like Tony Blair is saying Mubarak is finished. Senator John Kerry is saying, you know, that's the end of Mubarak. The president of the United States, Obama, is not saying that, only that he wants the military to have a peaceful coexistence with the people who are protesting for their rights and have a peaceful transition, but not flat out saying goodbye to Mubarak, at least not publicly saying that. So when does this transition happen? How does Mubarak go? Does he go screaming into the night? And does he run away to Israel? Or does he just finally give in and step aside? We can't answer that question at this point. There's lots of rumors. There's lots of speculation. the key thing we can say for sure, I think, is that he's gone, gone, gone. Really, honestly, how does he hang on? I don't think so. Got to talk about this because it affects so many of you listening to America tonight. Maybe some of you right now are listening to this with one eye open, exhausted, because you've been fighting the elements, the winter weather. Another major storm hitting as many as 19 states this week. If you look at any weather map, that's what you see. You just see big chunks of snow, everywhere, whatever map you choose to look at, any of the satellite photos. And in Chicago, they have a terrible blizzard going on. In the Northeast, they have a ton of snow on the ground, and more is expected to head in that direction. In Texas, they're dealing with ice. What's curious is, I wonder, with so many states struggling to stay on budget, what do they do when they keep getting these snowstorms? That's got to drain it. They say in December alone, Minneapolis overran its 2010 snow budget by $3.3 million. And with more of this Arctic activity, they're going to have more cleanups. New York City's blown through its snow budget and extra. Probably most of the states that I'm saying are going to get dumped on again have done the same thing. You know, in the Northeast, in some of the parts, they were talking about 59 inches. So, of course, they're going to blow through that. Okay, at the top, I mentioned the fact that, yes, it's the Super Bowl. We are, by the way, going to have our final nail to score. That happens Thursday into Friday morning. So it's media day on Tuesday. That means, you know, media people from all over the country are talking to the Packers and talking to the Steelers. And what they did, some of the Packer players just said, listen, you know, it's unbelievably cold. I think a lot of them weren't expecting even if they've played in those conditions before, they weren't expecting those same conditions that you could have in Pittsburgh or in Green Bay. But having said that, and looking at all sides of this, I know that many of you are thinking, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Is it going to be Pittsburgh, or will it be Green Bay? And you know where I'm going. I think Green Bay wins it, but I think it's a close game. A lot of people are picking the Steelers to win it. Anyway, here's what Hines Ward said during Media Day and Donald Driver on the other sides on Media Day.
I just love playing. You know, I'm not out there to try to hurt anybody. You know, like I say, I mean, you know, everybody get, you know, well, he hits guys when they're not looking. You know, should I tap on your shoulder and say, here I come, hit me? You know, but at the end of the day, like I say, I just play football the way it's supposed to be played. That's how I was taught as a little child, and I continue to play it here in the NFL.
That's crazy. They put me over here, the old man. They put me over here, and I'm freezing. I'm shaking. I'm talking. I'm shaking as I talk. This is crazy. I need a jacket.
Yeah, I need a jacket because they were inside, but still it was pretty cold. And they had, I can tell you this, in taking the buses of the Packers and the Steelers, they were literally dumping salt and also dirt as the trucks were moving along. How crazy is that, huh? Just try to lead the way to make sure. And they were going very slowly because it was early, early in the morning. Don't forget, nail the score Thursday into Friday in our third hour, our final one of the season.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt to GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
Entertaining anecdotes about the stars and the legends of the movies. And he's the tour guide extraordinaire. He knows where all the stars live. He has the map memorized, I guarantee it. And he comes on with us each and every week. Stephen Shohead is in our virtual green room. Of course, he's on the West Coast, so he's a lot warmer than the rest of you, many of you anyway, listening to America Tonight. So lucky him. He didn't give him any hot chocolate. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, very good, Caden. Everybody's always welcome to come out here to L.A. I'll take them on a nice tour.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so cool what you do, by the way. I got to ask you, since we jumped into this, what's your favorite star's house that you go by?
Well, first of all, I don't do that as much as I used to. I'm doing more city tours because they put the limits on the buses. And the bus that I drive is too big to go by the stars' homes. I'd probably say Aaron Spelling, the late Aaron Spelling's house, which is the biggest house there is, 56,500 square feet. I never had this happen to me, unfortunately, but Aaron Spelling used to come out and talk to the people on the tour buses and ask their opinions about new show ideas and ask for their input and if they would watch it. And it never happened to me, but I wish that would have happened. And when I first started, it was like Jimmy Stewart and Lucille Ball were two of my favorites because they were always friendly. And George Burns was another one who was always really friendly. So just the fact that they would appreciate it and have a good time with the people was a nice thing. So I always liked that.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's jump into the Oscars. The King's Speech is getting all kinds of buzz. People are talking about the fact that, it should be a shoo-in, Colin Firth, it seems inevitable, and geez, what a performance, and across the board, the supporting cast was amazing, and a lot of people are running out to go and see it. We want to play a quick clip. Here's a little bit, a little snippet of the King's Speech.
You've destroyed the happiness of my family, all for the sake of ensnaring a star patient you couldn't possibly hope to assist. It'll be like madding George the Stammerer, who let his people down so badly in an hour of need. What are you doing? Get up! You can't sit there! Get up!
Why not? It's a chair.
No, that is not a chair. That is...
That is St. Edward's chair.
People have carved their names on it.
Listen to me!
Listen to you, by what right?
Because I have a right to be here. I have a voice!
Yes, you do.
Just brilliant there. I kind of jumped into the middle of it, but as I said, Colin Firth, Helena Bonham Carter's in it. Just a great movie from all accounts. I haven't seen it yet. You've seen it because we talked about the writer. You were going to see it.
Love it. It's a great story how it came together, too. It was a screenwriter named David Seitzer, a British screenwriter. As a young boy, he was traumatized by World War II and had a stutter. And eventually he cured it through therapy. And then he found out that King George had a stutter and wanted to do a script on it. In the 1970s, he approached the Queen Mother. She said, absolutely not. I will not help you. It's too painful for me. And he thought, well, you know, I'll have to wait till after she passes on. And she ended up living another 23 years or so to the age of 101. Mm. And by that time, Seitzer's career had really slipped. He didn't really have good screenplay prospects, and so he ended up making it a play. Well, the director's mother, Tom Hooper is the director. His mother was invited to a reading of the play. She thought, oh, this will probably be terrible. She went. She thought it was fantastic. She called up her son and said, I've got your next movie. And meanwhile, after Tom Hooper got involved and read it, then they wanted Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Rush's agent, absolutely mm-hmm. would not read it. They couldn't get it to him. So they found a friend of his, a neighbor, to stick it in his mailbox, which is just not proper in the movie business. You're supposed to go through the agencies and channels, otherwise there could be lawsuits. But Jeffrey Rush read it and said, if it's a movie, I'm in. If it's a play, I don't want to do it. And so it was developed as a movie. Money was raised very quickly. Colin Firth auditioned, got the role. And you know, it all came together. The Harvey Weinstein picked up the distribution rights, and it looks like it's going to win. It's at the point where it's such a big favorite to win, it's got to be bad mouth to lose, and that happens once in a while. When you have the movie Saving Private Ryan, for example, there was bad mouthing about the movie in town. People saying, oh, it's only good for 20 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes of the movie is sentimental schlock. With this movie, The King's Speech, you're hearing criticisms like, for example, the king in real life was not on the side of Winston Churchill as presented in the movie. He was more of a Chamberlain appeaser guy. And also other things like the use of the F word. I mean, this movie is rated R, and the much more racy Social Network is rated PG-13, and it has to do with the scene that the king. Well, I don't want to give it away, but he swears quite a bit.
Sure.
And actually, that didn't happen in real life. It was really David. Seitzer, the screenwriter, who went through that in his own therapy and made it autobiographical and put it in. There's no record of the king going through that. So little things like that are being critiqued about the movie because it's such an overwhelming favorite to win. And that's the only way that you can knock it off its perch, sort of, is to get Oscar voters to think, oh, well, it has this flaw and that flaw, but I think it'll win.
Yeah, and we'll find out Sunday, February 27th, 5 p.m. Pacific, and so on for the rest of us. What would that be, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern? I can't wait. I do like watching the Oscars, so that's like 25 days away. Moving from the Oscars quickly to Charlie Sheen, we threw him under the bus because he threw his coworkers under the bus the other week with this whole latest rehab. What happens to TV shows, and I was talking about this, how awful it is for the rest of the actors when the lead character, the guy who's making $2 million, is gone. I mean, there's a chance, and they've shut down the production, there's a chance this may be the end of the series, I've even heard. So what does that do to everybody else, Stephen?
Well, they do get paid somewhat. I think they get paid half. so it doesn't totally kill them. In fact, John Cryer, who's been totally supportive of Charlie Sheen, has been joking around saying, I have to find out with TMZ if I'm going into work or not. And find out his latest exploits. Often with past shows, the shows have just gone on. Now, the only similarity I can remember, and I'm sure other people can remember different things, is Frasier was shut down for 4 weeks, I think in the fourth season, because Kelsey Grammer was having some similar type of problems, not as explicit, but similar to what Charlie Sheen is having now. Other than that, we were talking about, back when All in the Family was on, Carol O'Connor was having an extended contract negotiation. They were going to kill off Archie Bunker. They were going to have Stretch Cunningham be the main guy on the show. And David Caruso, he left NYPD Blue and the show went on. Shelley Long left Cheers and the show went on. They'll just go in a different direction. Johnny Depp, when he was on 21 Jump Street, he was absolutely miserable. And at one point they were bringing in another actor to show him, like, if you make trouble, you can be replaced. And Johnny Depp probably would have liked to have been replaced. When he got off that show after 4 years, he actually compared the experience of being on 21 Jump Street. He said, I was like Mandela getting off that show. So, look at the Waltons. Richard yes. Thomas left, and they brought in another John boy.
And it
goes to show you I don't want to say Charlie Sheen's irreplaceable, but he's definitely in a unique position. I mean, I think he's the highest paid sitcom star of all time, making nearly $2 million an episode.
Yeah.
And they don't dare do the show without him, so that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. Good stuff, Stephen Shohat. We look forward to next week. As always, we appreciate the time, buddy, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. HollywoodStories.com is the website for the book Hollywood Stories.
All right, excellent. Check it out, folks. Good stuff, as I've said before. If I read it in 2 days or so, it's really, really good. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up around the bend, a little school bus TV. There's been these problems on the school bus with other kids picking on other kids, the bullying thing, and all kinds of problems, I think, with kids from the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere in between at times in some of these routes. We're going to talk about school bus TV as a solution next.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
And more important,
search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at Target M10 gas masks are 3 for $30. And Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com. The Maine name in military supply.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. I hope wherever you are that you're keeping warm, because I know we got snow and ice all over the place in the Northeast. You're listening to us in Connecticut. And Philly, I was talking to my mom today. She's saying so they've had 59 inches so far this season. That's just crazy. And, of course, the mothership in Minneapolis, they're used to it, and they make fun of the rest of us. But in the little satellite facility in Dallas, we're getting some ice, too, so I understand what that's all about. Speaking of ice, school has been canceled across the board in a lot of these places that I'm talking about. And, you know, we often talk here on this show about how important it is to keep those kids safe at school and in getting to school. So what about on the school bus? Remember, we've seen some of these fights break out on the school buses, and there's big concern about what's going on. Mansour Plummer's joining us now, and interestingly enough, he is showcasing something really interesting. It's called School Bus TV. Mansour, School Bus TV, I like the ring of that, and I think it's going to be something that's going to distract the kids on the bus. Am I right?
That's correct. It's commercial-free programming. There's no commercials. There's no commercial programming that kids would normally watch willingly at home. This is all videos that are provided by the NASA or some of the organizations like Teen Kids News, the Dairy Foundation. It's all about, you know, addressing issues like health, fitness, bullying, you know, teaching the kids, edutaining the kids while they're on the school bus and keeping them safe. There are lots of safety messages for the kids and what they need to do and need not to do while they're on the school bus.
And, Mansoor, is it that all ages, in other words, grade school, elementary school, all the way up through high school, would school TV be for all those ages?
Yes. Yeah, we make sure that the content is good for kids K through 12. We can custom tailor the messages based on who's riding the school bus. The bus driver can basically hit a button and say, well, these are all high school kids, these are middle school, elementary, or just play anything. But we've got thousands of videos, that, and they're all short, less than five-minute videos, so we can keep the content interesting for the kids.
Yeah. And what was the genesis for this? In other words, how did you come up with the concept?
Well, we've been involved with school bus security systems, tracking systems and video systems for school buses for the past 7 or 8 years. And everything with that part of our business was all about after the fact. You know, kid does something on the bus and the cameras catch him, and now you're going to discipline the kids. Well, the thought process was, you know, these kids sometimes spend, a lot of these kids will spend anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour a day on a school bus. And, you know, we need to keep them occupied in a positive way. You know, we don't want them to watch more television than what they have to. But, you know, the kind of programming that we want to show is something that will motivate them to learn something in a fun and educational way on a school bus in an informal environment. And stuff that is normally not taught in the classroom, and they don't willingly watch it at home anyways. But there's some amazing, beautiful videos about, you know, that kids can learn from on the school bus.
How did you decide on the content for the videos? Because you mentioned a couple of, it sounds interesting. How did you come up with what content you would cherry pick, how you would use it, and decide what would work for the different school districts?
Well, we're not experts at the content. So what we do is we consult a lot of educators, a lot of school districts, you know, and talk to them about what they would like. We got a lot of good content from NASA. One of the educational directors in NASA did provide us a lot of video content that is basically made for kids. But the challenge is, do kids really come home and turn to the NASA channel to view this content? The answer is no, they don't really do that. So they're a good captive audience on the school bus to view this.
And is the idea for school bus TV, because I know you presented this at the Texas Association of School Administrators, you were down there for a convention in Austin, is the idea that this will spread across the United States?
Well, we've got an awesome response from every single school district that we've talked to about this, and they all want it, they all are looking for ways to fund it, and that is the biggest challenge we have right now, is how do we get these school districts the money and the funding to be able to put this on their school buses. But they all believe in the, you know, that this is a great concept, and they all wanted to see it successful on all of their buses. So there's about 400,000 school buses all over the country, and billions of kids riding, you know, these buses every day. So we need to be able to find funding from it through either grants or you know, private foundations or whatever, whoever might, and we've got some interest generated along those lines.
Wow. And it's interesting because you were talking about that in the last 7, 8 years doing the security side of it, you saw with the cameras what you would catch. Is the bullying, because we know it's a big concern, are we seeing that there's a lot of bullying on the bus? There's a lot of problems on the bus with shuffling of seats and that sort of thing?
You know, there's a lot of peer pressure with these kids being on the school bus. And, yes, bullying and some of these social issues are even getting worse. I mean, now there's all this issues with cyberbullying. I mean, every kid on the bus has a cell phone, and they have texting plans, and they have cameras on them. And so they're all they are basically equipped with very sophisticated equipment. And so the bullying doesn't necessarily now be just, you know, verbally abusing each other or talking face to face. There's also an electronic version of bullying. So how do you keep these kids away from these little personal gadgets that they have so that they can, you know, because they're free to use them on the school bus. You know, they're not necessarily able to use them while they're inside school buildings and in classrooms. But once they get on the school bus, the whole environment changes. They're not supervised, and so there's a lot of problems that occur on school buses. So we believe that school bus TV would now, you know, basically turn their focus onto something more productive, maybe you know, even motivational content, you know, from sports personalities, and you know, it really helps. We heard some really good ideas at the TASA show in Austin. I mean, we had a bunch of universities come and talk to us about how, you know, they could actually promote, without promoting any particular university or anything, but just, you know, higher education, you know, so that we can reduce the dropout rate. And if you do that on a consistent basis, and the kids can watch this, interesting videos about what you can do when you grow up, and, you know, how can you push your interest, and how can you educate yourself, it can really change lives.
Oh, absolutely. I'd agree with you, because whatever you can get the kids to focus on that's positive versus something negative, and you're right about that. There's different personalities, there are different gadgets on the bus, and if we're talking about 400,000 school buses, wow, and talking about the funding and trying to get the grants and maybe some of the private funding, that could be the schools. I mean, if you develop this, certainly there are great minds at some of these schools that would know who to pitch to. I think there's probably a lot of different angles. I'm sure there's been some brainstorming on this, do you think?
Well, the times are tough right now. You know, all the schools are all hurting with their budgets and stuff. And so, you know, for us, the challenge is to get the schools to devote their staff, their grant writers to basically go and identify where the grants are and get them to apply for them, you know. But it is a new concept. It'll take a little bit to get everybody on board, but we are very confident that we will be able to do that pretty quick.
And then would it be a continuous loop? So, you know, you pick me up, I'm at the third stop, and, you know, somebody's a mile down the road, so you're just running, I'm assuming, it just like anything else, it would just keep going, it'd be on a loop, in other words, and it would start again. You know, when we could be picked up in the afternoon, maybe it's something different we're watching, but you'd have something constantly going on. And would you have one monitor in the front, or would there be separate monitors? How would that work?
We normally have one monitor in the front of the bus. Now, we might entertain a second monitor in the middle of the bus in case there is obstruction due to some air conditioning units that kind of protrude out of the side of the bus and stuff like that. But we don't want to put too many of them. Plus, one monitor in the front of the bus really helps with the driver, for the driver, because all the, you know, normally the kids like to go and sit all the way in the back of the bus, and that's where all, you know, all the mischief is done and all that. Well, having the, you know, they say the good kids sit in the back of the bus, right? So,
right.
They, you know, this will encourage them to sit more in the middle and the front of the bus.
Sure, maybe there could even, you know, thinking ahead, maybe there could even be contests for developing content, because some of these kids are pretty creative. Who knows, maybe in the individual districts, once you get through the tough times and people start to get the grants and get it, who knows what could the future could bring.
Yeah, we are, you know, we're getting a very good response from the educators. I mean, this all started for us with the transportation people, really. And, you know, transportation people are more interested in, okay, well, how is it going to make the ride safer for the kids, and
right.
How is it going to make the kids, you know, the behavior of the kids better on the school bus? Well, that it definitely solves their problem with that. But the educators love it because, you know, now the educators can do very, you know, neat things on the school bus.
Mm.
Like, for instance, if you're going to have your SATs in a particular week, well, you know, they can put up reminders, they can put up content that kids can relate to. We had an idea yesterday from somebody about, you know, somebody's got an initiative about called books for trailers for books or something like that, where, you know, books are being reviewed, kids' books are being reviewed by kids, and, you
right.
know, they're being presented in a multimedia format, and, you know, so you could play something like that, you could encourage kids to read books, so there's a lot of good that can come out of this. From
absolutely.
An education standpoint, yep.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the concept. I think it's great. I can't wait to see how this all folds out. Mansoor Plummer from AdCompSystems.com. If you go there, you can check it out. Mansoor, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle and is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with the look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. IG.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do the thing till you call for more.
Coming up here on America Tonight, we got some great exit lines for you. We haven't done that in a while. Hopefully you'll get some kind of a takeaway on this one. Maybe you'll even retell it. That's a big hint. But before we get there, a couple of quick things. Boy, our friends in Australia, could it get any worse for them? Mother Nature would not leave Australia alone. The forecasters there are saying cyclone is posing a serious threat. They're talking about a Cat 5 that in the Queensland state, it's strengthened to that, which is, of course, the highest that you can possibly have for one of those things. You say Cat 5 to me, and I am hoping I am in the opposite direction. And they're talking about it's more likely to be life-threatening than anything that they've experienced during recent generations, period. Winds gusting up to 183 miles an hour. 183 miles an hour. It's supposed to hit anyway late Wednesday evening, according to the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. And the people there must just be saying, what next? Why us? What next? So, of course, you're going to get the rains and you're going to have a storm surge and, you know, the whole high tide thing at the wrong time. But it's the winds that are, I believe, such a killer. In fact, with the weather that's going on in the United States, many of you can relate to in Chicago, it's like one of their worst storms ever. And part of that is because the amount of snow, and so you have power lines down and all that sort of stuff. But the other really tough thing to deal with. And for some reason, a lot of times this kind of gets buried. But it's the wind. It's the wind. In Texas, we didn't get, it wasn't a lot of snow, but it was ice and wind. I'll tell you, I thought after I got off the air, the house was going to fall down. It was that bad where you could hear the trees and you could feel sort of, it sort of felt like a freight train was going by. But it's mostly ice in Texas. People in the Northeast are dealing just flat out with big amounts of snow. And in Chicago, the same thing, a blizzardy kind of mix. They've got a hard freeze and frigid conditions. And yes, in Chicago and in other parts of the Midwest, you are used to severe weather, but I'll tell you, I mean, there's severe weather and then there's, you got to be kidding me. And I think Chicago especially is in the you got to be kidding me category right now. They even talked about, I think I saw this somewhere when I was flipping around to the Weather Channel. I actually watched the Weather Channel for the first time in like 3 years, but I watched just to see the amounts and what was happening. And part of a roof panel behind home plate at Wrigley Field, part of that broke away in the wind and boom, it just, I don't know, flew away. It's a souvenir now for someone if they could find it. And what they've done in and around Wrigley is they roped off the streets and the sidewalks because they're concerned about that. And a lot of the warnings out there are just pretty simple, short and sweet. Do not travel. Stay inside. Strong winds. Blinding snow. When you have blinding snow, that is life-threatening. If you're driving, sometimes we get a call from Rick in Illinois, and he'll talk about the terrible weather that he's driving in. Or Jay in Kentucky, he's trucking around. And so you guys see it. And when you have that snow that is blinding, I mean, that's the best way to describe it because of the wind, I don't even know how you can drive. I mean, for me, it's got to pull over. But I guess if it's going to continue that way, it might be just as dangerous, depending on where you are, to pull over. And in South Bend, Indiana, 14 inches of snow. 14 inches. We have people listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa. A lot of you call in Ottumwa. Nice, nice people there. A low of 12 below zero there. I'd say that's pretty cold. And it's those hard freeze warnings, too. And that's mostly what a lot of the southern states have gotten, where they say drip the faucets and, you know, beware when you get your electric bill, too, because you want to really crank up everything. But you have to do it. Otherwise, those pipes burst, and you want to talk about a nightmare. That's a real nightmare when the pipes go, and that's what happens sometimes with these frigid conditions. We started off the hour going inside the Beltway, talking about a couple of things, the budget, but also what's happening with Egypt and Mubarak saying that he would help in a peaceful transition, but not today, saying I won't run next time. And that's not going to be good enough for the people in Egypt that are in the streets. No matter what he says, no matter what speech that he gives, I don't think that he can turn these minds around. And if they continue to escalate the demands, he's going to have to, Hosni Mubarak is going to have to surrender power. I don't see any other way around this. Instead of September, he's going to have to do it now. And the Egyptian military might give him the push that's needed to help throw him out. Because there it's a question of Mubarak or the masses. They're not going to wait till the fall. And the crush of the demonstrators, the sheer volume and the voices, this may be a case where they win out. They're not going away, and Mubarak refuses to step aside at this point. And finally, President Barack Obama commended the armed forces for what he said was their professionalism in the face of angry protesters and talked about urging the military there for fear of seeing ugly things on video to do what they could to ensure that the time of change is peaceful. But they took a long time in crafting whatever that message how it started to trickle out later in the day. Anyway, the White House says it's confident of its closed-door meetings, its relationships with the Egyptian military, and negotiating what's happening in Egypt. They feel pretty good about what could happen if everything falls for what it's worth. But the question becomes, who is going to be in the office of the presidency? Is it going to be somebody that's part of this whole military thing or close to the military? Is it going to be one of the opposition leaders? Is it going to be somebody else out of left field? The Muslim Brotherhood, pretty conscious of the connotations that they're tagged with the Islamist brand, if you will, and they're trying to connect, I guess, with some secular opposition leaders. So if that, in fact, is true, then you know where the slant might be. It might be El Baradei, who's the guy who ends up taking the reins, if they're trying to cut a deal there. Bottom line is, this could drag out perhaps through the end of the week. I can't see it going into another week. If this goes over the weekend, I truly don't believe it's gonna drag into the following week. It seems as though with the amount of people and the big push, there's going to be a big push on Friday, how could they hold off and how could Mubarak hold off and just continue to stay there? I want to definitely tell you that we have a happy note to end on here. It's so rare when I say that, right? We have a happy note. Here's the good news for all of you who have 401ks, for people who are somehow invested in the stock market, even if it's just a little teeny bit, who cares? You can make some money on it. The Dow was up for the first time to a level of, you know, the Dow and the S&P closed at the highest levels in 2 years. I was watching this. The Dow averaged 1.3%. It finished over 12,000, so you'd have to go back to 2008, the summer, I think, the beginning of the summer of 2008, to hit that number. And the same thing if you looked at the NASDAQ, 51 points or 1.9%. So, like I mentioned, just the working Joe who has a 401k, that has to be music to your ears, because how much has the 401k lost over the years? And so U.S. stocks had some pretty big gains on Monday, decent gains. And same thing rolling into Tuesday, end of January, about 2% higher. Some of this is off of earnings, right? So Exxon was pretty high, and there were a few other blue chip companies that ended up pretty high, and that's probably why we saw those numbers. All right, here's a couple of quick exit lines for you. Feel free to steal them if you'd like to. Why did the woman divorce the grape? She was tired of raising kids. What did the TV dinner say after it had been packaged? Curses foiled again.